For some of you who don't know me, my name's John Brooks. I'm president of Focus International, and a lot of you are, in fact, most of you are not new faces for me. So maybe the best use of our time is going to be trying to answer some questions. I want to talk to you a little bit about what God's been doing with Focus, where we're headed, and some new places in the world that are opening up that we're pretty excited about. And then just see if you've got some questions, what things look like on your campus, and how we might be able to help. But let me begin. Open us in a word of prayer. God, we're so grateful that in your sovereignty and in your grace, you've allowed us to be a part of what you're doing in the world. You've given us the privilege to walk with university students, that you've given us the privilege to hear from you and know you and to join with you in what you're doing. And Lord God, I ask that the time that we share together this morning would be time that pleases you and that really challenges us to think bigger about what you want to do and how we might be a part. So we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Anybody here not have a clue at all about who Focus International is? Yeah, Rachel Wright. Let me just talk for a few minutes about some of the things I think most of you may already know that I feel like are things that I don't know that they set us apart, but they're at least part of our ethos and part of who we are and what we really believe in. As you probably know, FOCUS is an acronym for Friends of College and University Students, so it really is our heart that we're involved in touching the lives of university students all over the world. And in some very unique ways, God has opened the doors for us to be a part of university work, primarily with the International Mission Board and primarily in what the International Mission Board calls Level 3 security. 1040 window, that frankly was not my, I don't want to say it wasn't my heart when we started Focus, because it has been my heart, but my heart has been students wherever students are. It just has been that God has opened those doors in some places that have been very difficult for other folks to go and to be a part of, and he's given us some really unique opportunities to be involved in places that a lot of other people just haven't moved to. I think some of the things that set us apart are, one, is that we're really committed to serving our field personnel, that we don't set strategy, but we try to connect with field personnel and hear what their strategy is and how can we serve and undergird the work that they're doing where it fits university ministry as part of their strategy, or at least peer-to-peer. There's some places that we really can't get on the university campus, and so what we're trying to do is find out where can we connect with that segment of the population age-wise with young men and women from the States. One that I just got back from West Africa last month. This is January last month, and we were asked if we'd be willing to work with high school students, and I said, well, really, we've not done work with high school students. Really, that's not an interest for us. And discovered that high school students in West Africa typically go to about age 25. Well, that put things in a whole different perspective. So we're rethinking what that might look like to do work in West Africa.
Why is that? Why is it that they go to age 25? That's unusual anywhere.
It's just their ability to get in school, stay in school. It's, I think, the poverty level. I don't know why it is. It just is.
It takes them a long time.
Takes them a long time. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know all the reasons, Joe, but it's where they are. So there are a lot of high schools that there would be opportunities, but it would look very different than what we've done in the past. And I, frankly, at this point, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it is something that we've been asked to step into and to give some thought and prayer to how we might be a part of that. So. So we really do want to serve field personnel. Larry has been a recipient of that in the past, and we hope we'll be a recipient of that again in the future as God gives some opportunity. Joe may be a recipient of that some in the future as there are opportunities in some new places. Some other things that that we really are committed to as teams, that we're committed only to sending teams. We don't help facilitate individuals going, but really helping to prepare and facilitate teams going, to prepare and facilitate team leaders, being able to do a good job of leading teams. Yeah. Whatever the field asks for. So we have had teams of two. Typically a team will be 6 to 10, but the field is who determines what a team will look like and whatever they're asking for. And that's part of us being able to serve field needs rather than just deciding, here's what we have, we want to send this. So we really want to work with the field personnel. I think selection for us, selection and training has been a very significant part of what sets us apart. And so we're really involved in walking side by side with campus leaders, BSU directors, college ministers and churches that want to put teams together. You guys know what your students are like. You know what their needs are. You know where they're weak, where they're strong. So even though students applying to come through Focus, we would say we have the final say in who goes. We don't make that decision apart from conversations with you. We'll get an application. We'll read that application. There are going to be some things that we're going to see in an application that you may not know. And Rusty Cryer just told me something that we've got to start doing this year is looking at MySpace and Facebook. We're going to take every application and go to MySpace and Facebook and see what we can find out. I think it'll give us some insight. So we want to make decisions together with you, but I think there's some things that we've learned over the last 15 years that enable us to see things that you may not be able to see or that your students just may not even tell you. And so we'll do that in conjunction with you. It's not going to be apart from you. But we do want to make the final call on whether or not a student would go. And then we want to work with you in selecting team leaders and helping to train your team leaders. We do train team leaders at our expense. All the team leaders, as we help select them, we bring them to Wichita for a weekend at our expense and make that investment in their lives. So we're committed to teams. We're really committed to training. Training at orientation, training for our team leaders, training our volunteers who help. A lot of you have participated in that and understand the level of commitment that we have of men and women all over the country who've joined with us. And frankly, it is not about John. It's not about, it really is a Focus family. There are men and women all over the country, all over the world, who have joined together with us to invest in the lives of young men and women. And that has been a thrilling, thrilling thing to watch and to see and be a part of. And to have some of our field personnel who come to the States for orientation just to be there for orientation. They may pay a pretty good price to be there for that. And so one of the other pieces that we've done in the last 4 or 5 years has been our director's track. And it is growing at a new level. It's been really, really exciting. I think we had about, what did we have this last year, about 40 that were there that included campus ministers, it included college pastors, it included field personnel, missionaries, some folks from International Mission Board that were there. And we just had a great time. And I'm looking forward to even a better year next year, mainly because I think our logistical situation for where we're going to be. We've got a new building on the facilities that I think is going to be in place. Something else that I wanted to share with you that we've done is that we have partnered with the same company, Fort Sherman Academy, that does all of the training for the International Mission Board, for New Tribes Missions, for Frontiers. They do all of their training for what they call contingency training for terrorism attacks, for interrogation, for kidnappings. They were involved in Gracia Burnham's release out of the Philippines and a lot of others. I've gone through part of their training. They were there at orientation this past year to do some consulting. They're going to come back this year and actually train our security coach and train, help train our security and our volunteers, our nationals, which I think is going to take us to a whole different level. We do things, we don't do just training in security and kidnapping and interrogation, but it really is in the places that we go and the part of the world that we're in. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news, but we felt like that Nairobi, that Kenya was probably the safest place in Africa that we go, and it is in lockdown. I don't know if you've been watching the news, but there have been over 300 killed. The church was broken into, about 50 people killed in a church, set fire to it. And it is, they're talking about evacuating missionaries. It's a very unsafe place now. And so we really want students to be prepared, wherever they go, to face the kind of things that they face. So we're really committed to doing those kind of things. And we want to work with you as you help prepare students through the year. I think part of the reason that Focus has been so successful, our teams have done so well, is because men and women like you have invested in students long before they ever get to Focus orientation. And it's not about Focus orientation. It's not about their team. It's about the investment that you've made and then the way that we've been able to partner together to invest in some of these young men and women. So it really is a joint venture together that we can do. We're looking at some new places. God's opening up some new doors. We are hopeful to be in Bangladesh soon, probably not this year, but within another year. We've got one of our friends that's headed there. We'll be there in July. And God's doing some incredible work among university students in Bangladesh. There's a real openness right now that's there. West Africa is also a new piece for us. I don't know that there probably won't be an opportunity this summer, 2008, but in 2009 and from here on out, we're hoping to have some opportunities to do some things in West Africa. We probably will begin in Senegal, but there'll be other places that we'll be able to work as well, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, some other places as well. God's opening the door in Eastern Europe. We're hoping within the next 18 months to begin to send teams into Poland, the Czech Republic, probably into some places in that we've not been in Russia. A lot of that's going to depend on what Russia does with visas and all of that kind of stuff. It's the jury's still out on that. So God's just opening doors for us in those places. And one of the things that we've had questions about for a long time now is how do we go south? There are a lot of students that speak Spanish. How? And we've tried to make that connection. We've tried in Mexico. We've tried in Central America, and it just seems as though the opportunities haven't been there. I got a phone call and a couple of emails this week. It looks like the Lord may be opening some doors in Panama, and so we're pursuing that. I don't know that would be 2008, but it certainly is on the horizon for the next 18 months. So our desire is to be, we work primarily with International Mission Board personnel, but we're not working strictly with International Mission Board personnel. And it looks as though God's opening some doors for us to do some different things. And if these opportunities come about and they're looking really good, then we'll be in 10 of the 11 regions with International Mission Board. And hopeful that the Lord would open up the 11th. We'll see. I really want to walk with Him and follow where He gives us opportunity to go and step into those areas. So that's kind of what we're looking at in the future. We've added some new staff. Becca Butler from New Mexico State served as our intern last spring and joined us then a few months ago. When did she start? September. Thanks. She works for me, and I have to ask somebody else when she started. So, Brett Spivey, who is another Focus alum, started with us 1st of November. And if you haven't met Brett, you'll want to meet him. He'll be at the booth, so you can meet him while you're here. That's going to be a real blow for us because he's been Officer Spivey at orientation. And so we're sad that we're going to lose him as one of our security force, but we feel like it's been a real plus for us to get him in a new role. And no, he cannot serve on staff and be in security because we never know if security is loved after they leave orientation, and we really want staff to be loved. So We're in the process right now of talking to some other folks about staff. We're hoping that within the next year that we'll add at least probably two more within the next year. So God's just been doing some incredible things, trying to keep up with what He's doing, and that's really where we're headed. The main thing is that we want to be involved in helping and serving you, be involved in your students going to the nations. One of the things that I've heard from directors over and over again, and I haven't heard it from you guys, and I don't think you'd be in here if you didn't have interest in it. But so many times I've heard men and women say to me, "John, my plate is full. To add something else, I just can't do it." And it really isn't about adding something else. It really is about joining where God is working. And He's working in the lives of your students. And He's putting the nations on their heart. And the God that we serve is big enough to deal with the little situations that I know they seem big when we're in the middle of them. But He's a big enough God that together we can be a part of really helping facilitate what He's doing in the hearts of your students. And so it's been a tremendous journey for us. I want to tell you one other thing that I have no clue what's going to happen. We did something this year that 3 or 4 years ago I probably wouldn't have done. But we felt like that God was really clear that we needed to do it. We were able to do it financially. We sponsored two traveling teams. And so two of the traveling teams have been promoting Focus on campuses where we typically don't work, where we don't know campus ministers, where we don't know college pastors for this past semester, and we'll do so in the spring as well. The result of that has been over 1,000 initial... Hi, Martha Moore. Has been over 1,000 initial inquiries from students that we don't know into our office. And I'm thinking, that's going to be really messy. And I'm also really excited about it. Just an initial inquiry. I'm anticipating if we get a 2% return, if we have 15 to 20 students that actually apply and come through Focus next year, I'll feel like that's been a real success, especially if we can connect with their college pastor or their campus minister and begin to build some new relationships. But these are young men and women who don't know Focus. They're young men and women to whom Focus orientation will be interesting, to say the least. It'll be a real challenge for them. But they're young men and women that I think God is helping to move us to a place where we've not been, where we can begin to help facilitate some other folks getting to some places that they wouldn't otherwise be able to get to. So if you think about us, pray that we'll have real wisdom, that we'll be able to connect at a good level, and that I'm thinking 2%, that'd be great. I could live with 2%. 10% would be really scary to me. You know, that we have 100 students that we don't know, their campus minister, and we're reading their apps, and we're looking at 300 students at orientation, a third of whom have no history with Focus. That'd be interesting, Rachel. It would be fun. It would be fun. But that's what we're asking the Lord, and God's just been moving in some incredible ways. That's kind of where we are. We're really wanting to see some new opportunities open up. Martha, I was just telling the group that God's opening some opportunities in Western Europe and Eastern Europe, in West Africa that we've not been, and so we really want to pursue that and see how that plays out. So,
John, what are the campuses?
You know, I haven't even seen the emails.
Was it south, east?
It's been west and northwest. Brian Zuniga's been one of those teams, and I don't remember where the other. I think it's been in the Michigan, whatever that region is that Michigan's in. So it was hard to choose which two we wanted to sponsor. Frankly, I would have thought one would have been enough, but we felt like that it was important to do that. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, the deadline for application is February 1st, and most students put things off till after the holidays. So we really won't know what that's going to look like for another month. That's kind of where we are and where we're headed. We really want to serve you. We want to be available to help you on your campus, working with your students. Our staff is such now that we've got people available that can come, and if it would be a help to you to come and speak to your students, or just in whatever way we can be a help, don't hesitate to call the office. Let me say this. I'd be glad for you to call me, and I'd love to talk to any of you. If you have a specific question about anything logistical, if you call me, I won't be able to help you. I'll say, you know, you probably ought to talk to Melissa or Becca or Rusty about that, because generally I don't know. I used to know, but my role has changed and the staff's role has changed, and so call the Focus office if you need to have questions answered about dates. Do all of you have the Focus website? There are website cards on the display booth. You can pick those up, get to the website. The password has changed. It's now Nations. And so if you've not been on it in recent months, it'd be good for you to make a note of that. But you can pick up that email address there. What questions do you have? Martha. Paris is an option. I just spent a couple of days in Paris on my way to West Africa. So, yeah, it'll be a real challenge. It's very, very different. Looks very different, but yes, it's an option.
I'm excited that we're going.
Yeah, I really like the folks there.
I know that couple. So.
They're a sweet couple.
Can you say?
Yes, I can say. What's her name?
Terry and Sheila
Wilbanks. Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's called a senior moment at my age. Terry and Sheila. Yeah, well, I've been back long enough, I'm over that. So, yeah, sweet couple. Sweet couple. But it'll take a very unique team to work in Paris. It's very, very different there. We're not, Americans aren't necessarily loved or appreciated, and there's not necessarily, and you experience some of this where you work, there's not necessarily a deep sense of a need for spiritual things. So, it'll take a unique team. What other questions do you have? Yes, sir.
You can't hear me, sorry. As far as parents go, I've already had to deal with just them beginning to say stuff like, well, you have commitments to children in ministry at your church, things like that. How do you suggest dealing with that?
They're saying that to their kids. Well, first of all, I wouldn't try and deal with it in terms of what they're going to pick any excuse to keep their kids home. It's either you need to save money to go to school, you need to be working. Why would you go someplace else when there's as much need here in the States? You have other commitments to keep. I think as much as you can do is for believing parents is try and cast vision for them. That's going to be the key. And there's a way to cast vision for unbelieving parents just from the perspective of the student's education, their benefit for their resume, cross-cultural experience. If you deal with safety issues, then that's another issue. And we can help you with that as well. We really try to help prepare students for the places that they're going in terms of what we do with orientation and those kind of things. Joe?
Well, I think with that, over the years, Focus has always worked really hard to put their people in as safe places as they can. And even when the SARS epidemic was a big deal and there was even wasn't that big a deal in a lot of the areas in China they were going, really, but it was big enough in the news that they canceled all their trips that summer just because of that issue.
Yeah, we moved all the China trips, and some other folks really benefited from it. And one of the good things is that we have the ability to do that because we have so many overseas partners who don't get teams that can take a team at the last minute, and we're able to reroute teams. The other side of that is we really do want to prepare students as much as possible and send them to places where they, I don't even want to say to be as safe as possible anymore. We are living in a world that is not safe. And I've been on the telephone with parents that say, I want you to guarantee my child's safety. No, ma'am. I will not. I cannot. We will do all that we can to give them the tools that they need where they are. We'll put them with missionaries who have contingency plans in place. I think those are required now, although a lot of places still don't have them finalized. Larry, you want to speak to that?
I'll leave next week, and that's with the old companies and we have all that. So a lot of that, it depends on, I think, the region.
Yeah.
But most of them are getting those in
place. Yeah. Yeah, it's trying to bring that about. We're really trying to do what we can to put students in situations where there are at least plans in place when difficulties arise. So that one is, I'm becoming more and more sobered by the world we live in and where we go. And I get, you know, probably the safest place students will go is China. And yet parents would not agree with that. They'd much rather have their student go to Paris or London or Nairobi. And that's because parents are geographically illiterate. They don't know what's going on in the world. So and we're becoming more and more aware of it here in the States. There's just so much that's happening. We're not going to protect our students. God alone can do that. So, yeah. Larry? We don't really have connections there. I know that the traveling team does have teams that go up there. We just haven't had the connections up there. We've had one or two students that have had friends that have gone to school in other places that have come through. We do have some connections. Brett Spivey coming on staff, we have some connections in Boston. And also with the Widemans, Jeremy and Kathy. I think it's Jeremy's sister is in Boston, so we're hoping to begin to develop some connections there in the Northeast. So if you know of folks in other places that you feel like we could be a real help to and a blessing that you'd like to introduce us to, we'd be thrilled to do that. So, Martha, how's the work going in your new city?
Well, we really are profiting from having the team last summer. It was a launch time. We landed there in April, and then the team came six and a half weeks later. Anissa was on the team, and it's hard work. It's just we had 70, that summer we had 70 different students that came to an event. Not people that we met more than that, but 70 that actually came to an event that we sponsored. And the tough work was following up on all those and building relationships. I can't with 70 people. But
right.
That has been a good filtering process from the summer to be able to actually continue, because I had a summer intern who was very experienced, and then another intern came right on her heels from OU, so had a guy come in for 2 months. So that has helped me, because I'm alone as staff, so that's really helped to have that follow-up, because I really feel like people need to invest in a place where something's going to happen with that afterwards. And so we were trying as much as we could, but we've got 9 people in 2 discipleship groups and an outreach Bible study last semester and this semester, and so we're plugging away, seeing some one guy come to faith that we met during the summer.
Good.
Christian, so.
Good.
Thank you.
Martha's in East Germany.
Now in West Germany.
Now in West Germany.
North Germany, but that's the West.
Okay. Well, good.
But connection is in East and West, so our ministry.
So I want to come back through again.
I want you to.
Yeah. Stay a little longer, would that be all right? Yeah, that'd be good.
No, I knew you were coming to Paris, so I got a phone call from the folks there, and so I was excited.
Well, it was just we were going to West Africa, and it was, I could route through there. It just made it very easy. We didn't look like that was going to happen, so we were glad that it did. So, what other questions do you have?
I have one. Is there anything in process or have been talked about like reentry help kind of things? Mm-hmm. I know that every campus, like we've even talked about our campus, like really creating something that's a bit more formal of a time after they return, but I didn't know if there was anything.
Yeah, let me make 2 or 3 suggestions. One is that our staff has written a series of reentry emails that they send out to every student that comes back, and we've gotten really good positive feedback on those. I think there are about 12 of them from the time they get back through the end of December. There's also Brett Yon did his DMIN project on debriefing and reentry when students come back in, and that would be available for it to be used. I think another thing that's been really helpful is what New Mexico State has done, others have done. I know Kyle Hoover at College Station, Central Baptist College Station, others have done for a debriefing weekend when the students come back. Y'all do that at Glory? No, it's not at Glory. It's about a month after they get back, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about a month and a half after they get back, sometime in September when they have a chance to.
Yeah.
They've already been through the first rigors of school and kind of settled down into a routine and be able to process a little bit. We factor in the cost into the raising support for the student trip, so it doesn't cost anything out of pocket immediately.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just 1 night, 2 days, kind of in to bring in outside debriefers.
So what I'd recommend on that, you can either call our office, and we'd be glad, either somebody from our office would be glad to talk with you about that. There probably would be some help, maybe a recommendation of somebody coming in from our staff that could help. Call David Engelhardt or talk to Rachel about what they do. Is anyone else doing, any of the rest of you doing anything like?
We did one, I'm sure they've done it before, whenever Focus is coming anywhere, but we did it for, it was just a day.
Yeah.
It was an afternoon, but several hours are all the time together.
I'd really encourage you to do that. And I think one thing that you guys have found that's been good has been waiting some time, waiting till they've been back for a month or so before you try to do the, before you try and do the debriefing. That's been a piece that we, early on, we tried to bring everybody into we actually tried to pull them into Hong Kong. We had everybody in China. We tried to bring them to Hong Kong and do a debriefing as they were coming out of China. And we just can't, as an organization, do it. It really has to be a local campus doing it with your teams. One is you need some time. The students need a few weeks removed from their experience. To get over a little jet lag, to process a little bit, it really helps them more. And we just can't do that to bring everybody back into a central place. So it really makes sense to do it on your local campus. The difficulty is if you've only got 1 or 2 students that are going, even they need to have some time where you sit down and do it. If you've got multiple teams or multiple students, do a retreat. Do a Friday night and Saturday. Have some fun, but let them talk. And I know both our office and Rachel can give you some pointers on kind of what that looks like, what the structure looks like, questions that need to be asked, what that process is like.
Do you include that in the director's track of, you know, helping
Did we do that this year? If we... Yeah, I think we talked about it, but I don't think we went in detail. And so we need to do that. Yeah. I'll tell Kyle, and we'll get that worked in. Just one of the other things to do. But yeah, it's a good thing to do.
People are really helpful, though. Yeah. They ask really good questions, and like you're getting them all the way from December, and you're just kind of like going about things, and you get this email, and it's really, really good.
What's been interesting is that as the staff wrote it. They did them in conjunction talking with journeymen that had been back and also others that had been overseas. And so they kind of track those emails to know generally what the students are going to be facing at week one, at week five, you know, down the road. And they just did a tremendous job. I don't know if y'all have seen those or not, but they're tremendous. They did a tremendous job with those. And they'd be glad to get you copies of those. Just call Melissa, and she's got those. Can send them as a PDF file to you. Be glad to do that. But we do send those out to all of the students that go through Focus. You're probably going to have some students that go through other organizations. You'd like to have them. You're welcome to get them, or maybe even contact the office, and they can put them on the mailing list, or you can send them out. Just check with Melissa or with Becca, and they can get you copies of those. What else? We have connections in Madagascar. I was there a couple of years ago. I'm not sure what's really going to happen there. Yeah. The folks that we know there, at least at this point, don't have students as a part of their strategy. And they're great folks, but it's just not a piece that has really fit.
It's probably not a very large population.
No. I started to say, it's expensive. It's difficult to get there. It's a beautiful place, but it's not that it's not on the radar. It's just not right now. It doesn't look like it's something that's going to happen. Other places that you guys think, hey, man, we need to find a way to get there. I know somebody there. I'll pass the word.
What's going on in, like, southern Russia, like that area? Are there people there anymore?
You know, the only thing I can speak to is where we've been working, and that's been, of course, Moscow. We've been in Moscow, and hope that continues. We do have... a journeyman team that's in the Caucasus area, and will continue there. They're going to be there one more year, and I don't know at that point. I don't know what things are going to look like. We'd like to continue in that over in the Caucasus area.
Did anyone ever replace Ben and Aaron?
No, but there is an opening. If you've got some interest, we can see that. Yeah.
So I've always wondered if they were able to get anybody to replace them.
You know, those guys are getting married.
Yes, they are.
Next week and then next summer. Yes. So, yeah.
What's, like, their return rate as far as, like, people that go to Focus and then come back and do it again? Or go later?
Yeah, I can speak a little more to that. We've had about... this number is going to be skewed because it's students that have gone back, some of them three and four times for summer projects. So 2,400 students. Rachel counts for four of those, I think, or something. probably 2,000 students. We've had 250 to 300 that have gone as journeymen. And then there are about... 60 or 70 that are career missionaries that are either on the field now or headed that way soon. So about a 15 20% return ratio on journeyman, which is pretty significant. And then and then of that percentage, about a 20% return is career. One of the things that we've done with the journeyman, and I think it's interesting, I don't know if y'all, I know you're aware of this, is that with the ratio of girls to guys as far as journeymen, depending on what part of the world you're in, is just really skewed. In West Africa, it was about 8 or 9 to 1. About the same in India. In where? Is it that much? Oh my. Well, I knew it was a lot. One of the things that we've seen with, and for the university in the States, university enrollment in the States is 60% women, 40% men. And one of the things we've seen with Focus has almost across the board, summer projects and journeymen has been 60% women, 40% men. So we're seeing a much different ratio than what the board is in general with journeymen and ISC folks. And I've got my own theories about that. There are four or five of them, some of which I'm not sure what you can do to change. I think there's some reasons for it. I don't know that you can really fix it. So, Nisa?
Both questions. I asked a few ideas about some things, but just some ways to cast vision, like, we've been talking about it, like, it's kind of easy, I guess, sometimes for me, because I'm like, I'm determined this summer, and I can tell them pictures and be excited about things and really help them, you know, help students want to catch what I love. But as far as, like, what are some suggestions that for helping students that have gone cast vision with their friends, or for, like, staff people to cast vision with students who are like, I don't know, maybe that's not, you know, my friends can go, but I don't need to go.
There are probably a lot of different things, and there are probably some things. There's some things that I learned that you don't do. You know, if you make your first trip overseas, and I figured this out with my wife when I came back from my first trip to Central Asia back in the early 90s, you don't come back talking about how bad the bathrooms are, about how sick you got, and how weird the food was. Those are not the. I mean, it's okay to tell those stories, but those are stories you tell months later. What you do is you come back telling the stories about what God did, what He did in my life, and you talk about people that you met and how God challenged you because of their life and how they were hungry for friendship and how they responded as you were able to share the good news to him. So you talk about the goodness and the faithfulness of God rather than the weird things. And I know that's a real temptation because we come back from this strange culture and that's what we end up talking about. And, you know, there's some great stories. I mean, there are stories for those of us, you know, that have been and we know we're going back. We need to share those stories and have a few laughs, and that's okay. But those are not the first stories you want to tell. I think another thing is have your students that have been, that have a real heart for it, ask their friends to pray. If they'll build their prayer list for the summer that they go, and then they come back and they're telling the stories about what God did, they have brought that friend with them and said, God did this because of what, you were a part of this. You shared in this. This was something we did together. Now let's continue to pray for my friend Muhammad. Let's continue to pray for my other friends. And then just ask God to do that in their heart. It's amazing how many students I've talked to that began the journey through prayer, they get there. And then they hear the stories. Don't put a guilt trip on them as staff. You know, it's God's business. And it's not something you need to feel guilty about. There are some students that will never go, and that's okay. But they need to be praying, and they need to be involved in sharing. So, Martha?
Is there kind of like a set formula of how many prayer friends they should have? Or
a thousand would be good. No, we don't. We don't really have that. I just would recommend that as you're getting your teams involved. I know that I think the IMB now has a certain number of churches they have to get involved, and for journeymen, is there a number of people they have to have praying? Or it's not required. Okay. Well, that there's not a requirement from the board or anything, but there is a recommendation that you have. Yeah. I think encouraging students to do it, though, is the main thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know that IMB has, like, those perforated prayer card things. Cause, well, I've used them before, and then, like, I've gone overseas. But is there, does Focus have it, any of that? Or, like, is there a way to get that from IMB, like, for our campuses, like, so that students can have that thing, and then they can hand their friends something? And
I made my own when I went overseas to Germany.
You need to shoot Melissa a note. We're putting her in kind of in a new role, and that sounds like a great idea to do that. Yeah. Typically each campus will do that, or a student team will do that for their team with their campus.
Project Impact actually has those that have a picture. You just put it in there and say, I'm praying for this person, something like that.
That's a great idea.
Because I know that, we did prayer cards and we did postcards and, I mean, those kinds of things. But there's something about that perforated, like, you're going to sign it and I'm going to sign it. And
yeah.
I don't know. What is that? It's symbolic, I guess.
That's good, because, like, what I'm trying to do is just to get things ready, like a packet of missions information, you know, to give to the students to get that. So something like that to half of the students would be awesome, because then they don't, one less thing to have to worry about, you know?
Yeah. It'd be great if we could include it in our internet stuff that we send out to the students. It'd be really good.
I know a few of your teams are semester teams. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that, the benefits and challenges
and all that? Rachel probably would be a better one to speak to that. She was asking about semester teams, some of the benefits and challenges of that. You want to speak to that? What we've tried to do is find campuses and help facilitate that, and we'd love to do more of that, but it is a challenge to do. Why don't you?
We tried something new this year. We had all teams, so they'll actually attend the orientation, and then they have the summer to kind of continue to prepare for each other and together and stuff. So they spend the entire fall semester taking classes in East Asia. The expenses are different. The student population is different. Who you can reach, who taking classes actually on the university campus. East Asia has switched, well, at least in the cities we go to, has switched our academic calendar to kind of match and mimic the American calendar. So there are a lot more students on campus in the fall and in the spring than in the summer. So influence is a little bit, okay, it's widened a lot. Networking is a little bit interesting. It's especially nice because we send a summer team to the exact same city. And so the friends get it within a month, they're passed off to the new fall team to kind of reconnect and to continue to follow up with, especially if decisions are made during the summer. That's critical and very helpful. The new thing we're kind of trying, which is definitely interesting, is sending, you could call them the semester team, but to North Africa. Where they are much more academically inclined. They will be taking 12 to 15 credit hours of the Arabic language. And so they'll have very little free time to just hang out and be friends, but the goal is for them to make it through their classes and then to literally learn the language. That is their goal. Like during the summer, it's hard to take 2 weeks of language or whatever and do that. So we're hoping that that's going to influence and give some credibility to the long-termers there. They've really been struggling with the university campuses, just in terms of, yes, we really are here to learn, we really do have an exchange program going on. So we have 3 girls, they're leaving in about a week to spend.
Are they going to be where Cody and Carrie are?
They are going to be where Cody and Carrie are. They won't be back till May, 1st of May, so it's 4 months. Again, much more expensive, and you have to transfer credits, and it is a legitimate academic credit, and so you need to do a lot more with ELICs, what they're working with, as well as focus. And, so there's different challenges in preparation. For the spring team, we're still trying to figure out, do we call them a team with a team leader, or are they going as individuals and supposed to be accountable to one another, and just kind of how do they join the long-term routine, or do they simply get invested in by the long-term routine? There's just a lot of different logistics that we're completely clueless about. We'll have more information for you in May. But, yeah, we're going in blind on this one. But it really does depend. But the biggest asset we've seen has been more ability to influence the students, because they're actually taking classes. They're actually back on the university campus instead of just living there because they can't really travel home.
It actually makes sense in a lot of these places, which has been a huge issue for more and more of our missionaries serving overseas. Why are you here? And so much of what's being said just doesn't make sense to people. So something like this actually makes sense. It does limit some time, but it probably gives greater impact. At least I'm guessing that's what we're thinking.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. It is a longer stretch of time, and so especially for first-timers to spend an entire semester overseas, it costs, and it's hard. Especially if you don't know, like, 8 weeks, if someone does okay in a cross-cultural context, that's okay, that's 8 weeks. 4 months is a little bit longer, and so you're taking kind of a bigger risk in who you put in those situations. But, you know, two of the three that are going back are focused on alumni. So we already know they function well.
We'd love to see more and more of that happening, but that really does have to take place. We can help facilitate it, but it has to take place on the local, either at the local church or college level.
Yeah. See, what worked, I thought, really ideally for us was the focus team came in, plus I had a two-month influence on it. I mean, she's from our staff in Germany, so just to put some context there. But then Tommy Pace came for you as an intern solely for 2 months. But then he stayed as an exchange student because OU and the TU have a division. Yeah. So in essence, it was sort of like having a semester missionary, only he's not expected to do any more than a normal student leader would do because he has classes and such.
Yeah.
But just having the flow of overlapping, you know, relationships and people, I mean, I could really see that working well as a semester missionary thing, actually with the summer team coming and then leaving two people behind. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have tried that or...
We're as far as the semester stuff, we're trying what our campus partners think they can do. So it really is, in terms of that, we're helping facilitate what they're sharing. It's not something that we're doing other than saying to some new places, hey, have you thought about this? So, well, if you have any other questions, Kyle and Brett will be here the rest of the week, however long that is, a couple more days, and I hope that you'll plan to be there. There's going to be a focus reunion. When? Does anybody know?
Saturday.
Okay. Peggy and I are on our way to Turkey on Saturday to have a reunion with Focus Journeyman. So we're not going to get to be at that one. I missed the last one as well. I was really sorry, but I hope you guys have a great time. It'll be a lot of fun. And let me just say again how grateful I am for the opportunity we've had just to work together through the years and see what God's done, what He's going to do in the future. It's going to be good. So, let me pray for us. God, thanks again for your goodness and for your hand on our lives. And we pray that just in gratitude that you do honor our faithfulness. We pray that we would be found faithful to the end. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.